Elegant Sea Urchin is an eldritch audio drama written, produced, and presented by Studio Swoon as part of the Greater Swooncraft Creative. It would mean a lot if you shared or supported us. Head over to elegantseaurchin.xyz for more. And before our program starts, we have a message from an anonymous source. It reads, "While those who stay in their comfort zone lead a dull life, those who lack comfort in living out of their comfort zone are missing out on the simpler things." Hey, you. Listening. Thanks. And enjoy. It came to me before I woke up. Something that made something else make sense. What was it? Acute spells of post-sleep amnesia can go suck smog. Heather licked my cheek and kept her arms around me. "Are you feeling better?" I wasn't. And even though I hadn't been on a trip from Spores this time, I was still in Wrecknock. There was something gnawing at the back of my mind. I don't think it had to do with a dream. I saw Cena playing with Enzo. He had his blue car plush. It's amazing to think, after all this time, he hasn't banished it. It's really etched and pierced now, but he loves it all the same. It's amazing to think that I was able to make him a little bit happy, even if it didn't help make me a little bit happy. And so I asked Cena what was going on. She said, "I helped fight off the eight-legged cat. Your malnourished canine tried to bite it after it jetted on you. You're safe not because of yourself."
What's going on with you,
couldn't
Faye?
Hear this. I needed to get a fresh breath. First Jones, and now an eight-legged cat? I don't remember.
"Yeah, let's go. How about to the shore?" I said.
Cena replied, "Fable, no. Here, you're high tide."
"I am not. Here, I'm sick of the miasma down in the dregs."
Heather grimaced and looked away. Cena got up and pulled me from Heather's arms. I was taken by her strength. She's a flasher. They don't deal with the Quarf, and don't have to train like the anemic gargoyles or the bellhops. Maybe I'm just weak from always lazing around watching the purple shine. But Enzo growled. It was the first time he'd bared his fangs, and seeing the ripples on his snout from Cena's aggression was startling. Cena dropped me, sneering, her eyes challenging the dim gray eyes of Enzo. "Fine," her hand thrown up. "Let's go to the shore." Uncle Three was wringing his hands right outside the threshold of Heather's alcove. It might have been because of my mood, but I liked him less. And something about him and Heather stuck in the back of my mind. What were these ripples that I couldn't make sense of? But the elder Bonilla stopped us before we left their family hollow.
"Girls, I know you're on your way, but
sit and relax for a spell. I've got something prepared that even Enzo might come down from. Since it's apparent that more people than I expect hear my wave casts on the tail end of this humble ripple. I'm just gonna cast like always. I'm not a brown nose. Cena and the elder Bonilla and Uncle El can suck nitro. We were given a really pleasant sweet ice treat, and I recognize the flavor as chocolate. Maybe the elder Bonilla had a tome detailing how to make chocolate, like I found the one that talks about toast." Cena seemed confused by the flavor, but decided to play blissful ignorance than to ask. It was silent until Heather said, "Familiar at all?" Cena and I both gave her queer glances. I nodded, and Enzo licked his maw. I told her that it tastes like something that shouldn't exist. The elder Bonilla laughed.
"You're so right.
As observant as the loathsome gods we bleed for, my girl." And I couldn't help but smile a little. I left a little wooden scoop in my mouth from the last bit of shaved ice in my cup. I really thought Heather was more observant than me. I don't remember if I've mentioned this, but she's thinking of becoming a brown nose. And I think that's perfect. They work hard, hear lots, and take a ton of hate when they do good work. More personally, Grandmama is coming around to me wave casting. Uncle Al has even been in contact with the UV Wavecast Incorporated to get me on the front end of a ripple after end school. At the shore I sat, looking out over the pastel wastes. The day was dithering, and the golden season was coming. Heather and Sina sat with me. Enzo ran up and down the shore, vanishing pools of the mossy expanse whenever we glanced away. Sina began, "You're not the Fae we know." I stared at her. "I've only ever been me. You're the one that changed, Heather." I looked to her. "I changed?" Heather and Sina looked at one another. You were the same as you are, but rounder, not curvy. Male, you were Henry. Henry Bonilla, the denizen creep of Cove's End, and I kinda liked you then, I just didn't know how to." Heather didn't say anything, but she put a hand on my cheek. There was one wisp of someone from the fractured magenta dimension on the shore. I watched it, her, trying to figure out what, how I was the one. Was Kay talking about me when he said, Something has changed. I needed my mind off the subject before I got high tide. What about the eight-legged cat? Sina saw right through my change in topic. She seemed to understand, though. Her reply was simply to point to the large pin I had laced through my dress across my mams. The pin I acquired from a very sleek woman of the tendril. Why would it ignore the smell of nip in my pack to try to get at this? I didn't want to unfasten it from how I had it secured since it was practically holding my dress on me. I don't know, but I don't think you should keep either of those things, Faye. So I tried something else. Heather, why does the Bonilla kinship offer chocolate to titleheads? Heather's eyes opened, revealing those reminders of Green Hills. Faye, you know every kin has something secret that gives their line time. She was right, and I felt like a precious citizen for asking. I stood up and walked to the edge of the great moony moss, close enough for it to ebb on my feet. Down the moss line, I saw the person from the magenta dimension. "Hey, loathsome person from the magenta dimension, scream to the bastard observers with me."
"Fay?"
both Heather and Sina called out. The magenta girl looked about my age, and when she looked at me, something felt really wrong. But what wasn't wrong these days? "You bastard observers, I'm not rippling around my life anymore. You don't decide, and neither does the tendril, Azathoth, Cthulhu, Nazid, Al-Azif, and anyone else out there. I dare you to enter my hollow, you bastard observers."
"You dithering idiot."
And I heard a gurgling or giggling. Behind me, I heard Enzo choking. And when I turned, I saw him spit up a mahogany rectangle.